JasonGeniusBoston.com. This week I talked to the Globe's Gordon Eads about Nader Ramirez's place in history, Tim Wakefield's red-hot start, and Josh Beckett's recent finger injury.
So, Gordon, Manny Ramirez finally started hitting after a slow start this year. And he also just passed Stan Musial and Willie Stargell on the all-time home run list. He's got 500 in his sights. You know, a lot of the news about this guy is of the Manny being Manny quirky variety, but he continues to stack up these otherworldly numbers. Where is he ranking now among the all-time greats?
Well, there's a little question that Manny Ramirez is going to be a Hall of Famer and probably a first-ballot Hall of Famer. History will look at Manny as one of the great all-time right-handed hitters ever, and not just in our generation, but ever. And the beautiful thing with Manny, of course, is that there's never been a sniff of any kind of taint in terms of what he may or may not have ingested over the course of his career. He's been hitting ever since he was putting up monster numbers at George Washington High School and Washington Heights in Manhattan, and it's never stopped. And yes, he got off to a slow start, but yeah, I think even we've learned, the fans have learned, media have learned, not to be terribly alarmed when Manny gets off to a slow start. Last year he was hitting about 225 end of May, and you look at the end of the year and the numbers are always there, and this year is no different. And it's almost now on a daily basis you're going to see Manny, both in terms of his home run totals and his RBI totals, they're going to be passing some of the big names in baseball history as he moves up the list. I mean, he's projected to end up his career with 600 home runs, and certainly, assuming he stays healthy for the next 3 or 4 years, that number is within reach. And you can't really rule out 650 if he keeps playing say until he's 40 years old. That would be an average of what? I'm going to do some math here. I mean, if he averaged 35 home runs over the next 5 seasons, he'd be close to he'd be over 600. So that's certainly within reach.
All right. Tim Wakefield got roughed up a little against Detroit this week, but he's been arguably the best pitcher in the American League this season. What's his secret?
Now there are no mysteries with the knuckleball and Tim Wakefield's success this spring, other than the eternal mystery of why sometimes he can make it dance to the point where it's unhittable, and other times he's going to hang some and they hit him for prodigious distances, like Maglio Ordonez did the other night for the Tigers. Wake is a streaky pitcher. When he's on and when the knuckleball is working, we've seen him run off 4, 5, 6, even more victories in a row. I mean, if you remember in 95 when he first arrived and was a revelation, I think he was at one point he was 14-1. Knuckleballers are going to have those kind of runs, and then he's going to be bad for 3 or 4 starts. There doesn't seem to be much of a middle ground for knuckleballers. You're either very, very good, or they get beat up. The reality is that for the first 2 months of the season, first 6 weeks of the season, certainly, Wake has been tremendous. He only had one bad inning against the Tigers this week, but that was enough to cost him the decision. But day in and day out, he's been outstanding so far this season. The beautiful thing is, and this is one of the reasons he has kind of an unusual contract that can get renewed on an annual basis by the Red Sox, as you know, Wake could pitch if he wants to for another 4 or 5 years, assuming he stays healthy. Knuckleballers historically have pitched well into their 40s. Charlie Huff, the last knuckleballer of note, pitched until he was 46. I believe Hoyt Wilhelm pitched till he was 49. So there's no reason Wake can't keep this going for a while.
Now, another Sox pitcher who's off to a great start, Josh Beckett, had to leave a game recently with blister problems. This was an ongoing issue for him when he pitched in Florida. How is this going to affect him this year?
Well, the Red Sox have been very careful to make a distinction between the blister problems that Josh had in Florida and what they're calling an avulsion, which is a $2 word for, you know, torn skin on his finger. the difference seems to me to be a matter of degrees. I mean, considering it's got to drain and heal, the kinds of things that a blister has to do and toughen up, there doesn't seem to be a whole heck of a lot of difference, in my opinion. But I'll defer to the medical people. If they want to make a big distinction here, you know, God bless them. But the reality is, in 2004, when Beckett was with Florida, he did have a similar injury where he tore a piece of skin off the middle finger of his pitching hand while throwing a fastball to Kip Wells, and he missed the next 24 days. So far, the Red Sox have not made a decision to disable Josh. He's been encouraged by how the finger has responded in the last two or three days. But I think, you know, obviously he's missing his start tomorrow, Friday, and I think they'll make a decision based on a side session he throws tomorrow or whatever kind of throwing he does tomorrow. They'll make a decision whether or not to disable him. But when you've had the history that Beckett has had, I mean, the blister problems have put him on the disabled list a half dozen times for Florida. Obviously, that's got to be a great concern for the Red Sox.
Okay, and I've also read that in the past, these finger issues have prevented him from throwing more curveballs, and I think some of his success this year has been attributed to throwing more breaking stuff. Do you think that even, you know, when he's healthy enough to come back and pitch, it might limit his effectiveness? Will he be throwing more fastballs?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, if he feels that throwing the breaking ball is what indeed has led to the problems, then you'd have to guess that he's going to try to back off from that pitch a little bit. He'll have no choice. But I'm not convinced. I mean, when he had the injury against Kip Wells, the same similar type of injury 2 years ago or 3 years ago, it was while throwing a fastball. So obviously throwing curveball, throwing his changeup, that's a feel pitch, and the middle finger of a pitcher's pitching hand obviously factors in tremendously when you're talking about feel pitches. We made a kind of a fuss about the fact that he was wearing a Band-Aid on the finger this week while playing catch. Well, he does that as a matter of course. He did it all through last season, too. He tries to protect the finger in between starts. But, I mean, Josh Beckett, no pitcher can survive on this level with just one pitch, so he's going to have to throw his curveball to be effective, and that's why it may take some time for this thing to fully heal.
Okay, the Sox play Atlanta this weekend. They're kicking off interleague play, and the Braves are a good team, but the Sox absolutely creamed the National League last year. How's this matchup going to go?
Well, I guarantee you that nobody on the Red Sox is thrilled with the idea that their so-called natural rival is the Atlanta Braves. They're going to have to play a home-and-home series against the Braves. The Braves are right there again at the top of the National League East. The Red Sox would just soon take a pass on having to see the Jones boys, Chipper and Andrew, for six games in interleague play. And John Smoltz had a funky injury the other day where he dislocated the pinky finger on his throwing hand. But Smoltz threw a side session, and he looks good to go for his start on Saturday. I mean, the Red Sox beat up on some bad teams last year in interleague play. I think they were matched up against the National League Central. This year, they're matched up against the West. They're going to have the San Francisco Giants are coming in and making their first visit. Barry Bonds will be right on target around that time to be taking aim at Henry Aaron's home run record. And, you know, six games against the Braves, it's not easy. It's not easy, and American League teams are penalized by not being able to use a DH in National League ballparks. So you know, I certainly don't expect a repeat of 15 out of 18 as they had last year.
Okay, so it sounds like the Sox might have more competition from the senior circuit this time around. Thanks very much, Gordon.
Okay, man.
Good luck with the doubleheader today.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
I'll see you.